Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of the Optimism Show. Today we have Jacob from Atlas, who's actually a builder, especially in the game space, the gaming space on Farcaster. And I'm really excited about this conversation because we're going to cover topics, especially on how to get users, to lessons from building games, in-game mechanics, retaining users. And finally, like, of course, that Jacob has learned along the way. So, Jacob, it's a pleasure to have you here today.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for the intro, and super excited to be here to chat about these things.
So just to get the conversation started, I would love to start with a topic that's actually a question to a lot of app developers, game developers, mini apps, whatever out there is. Like, it's always the topic of users, how to get distribution. Especially in the blockchain space, since if we look at KOLs and everything that is going, like, it works for some, it doesn't work for others. So would love to get your thoughts on that, like, especially how do you approach distribution on Telegram, Farcaster, and other platforms such as X for whenever you're looking to get your project to the next level?
For sure. So I haven't done that much on X at the gate, but I have been building on Farcaster now for over 2 years. And I think Farcaster is a very unique space. And I'll kind of separate that from Telegram as well. I'm looking at really Farcaster and Telegram right now as sort of the two main distribution channels, fundamentally because they both have really solid developer platforms, right? So if you're trying to grow your project, grow your brand, get people to find out about what you're building on a social network, then of course you can post about it. That's one thing. But unless you have something that users can click right then and there, where they can sort of jump into an experience, immerse themselves, be entertained, be rewarded, and then share it so that other people can discover it, so that they can start that process all over again and share it. Like, it's really, really hard to get that kind of traction and distribution. So my sort of core, you know, philosophy about distribution and growing users has to be give users an entertaining experience that they love, that they want to share, and then let them be the ones who go and help you market what you're doing, because that's what's gonna, like, you know, that's the kind of user generated content that you couldn't possibly create at that scale. If you just make other people happy and help them have fun, then they're going to sort of help you spread what you're doing. I've done that, like, every single time I've tried to launch a project relating to Atlas, that's been sort of at the forefront of what we do.
But I'm really curious, like, what, because I know you're implementing some of these things exactly in Atlas. And would love to hear some examples and maybe some experiments you did in the past that especially worked for this aspect of how do you get users to become at the same time your ambassadors, regardless of what you're building.
So I kind of, like, had this, like, concept even before I really knew what Atlas was. You know, it was like early on when I was on Farcaster, I think I joined March of 2023, and really didn't know how to code much. I started to learn to code in, like, December of 2022. You know, before that, I was, you know, I'm working in law for most of my career, and just software and products were just something that always was super exciting to me, just wanting to get more creative and build things. So, and I realized, like, I'm building on a social network, like, everything I create has to exist within the context of, like, this social network and this social graph. And one of the real benefits of Farcaster, for any of your viewers who aren't aware of it, is it's a totally open social network. So everything from, you know, the users' names and profile pictures to their posts and their connections and the follower graph is all publicly available information that any app developer can use and build experiences for those users. And, you know, been sort of keenly aware of this ever since I joined, because that's what was exciting to me about it. And one of the first projects that we built to kind of test this was it was like New Year's Eve, was really itching to build something and just felt like it doesn't really matter what we build. Like, New Year's Eve is coming up. Let's try to create an app that creates a New Year's resolution for you, right? Very simple. And so we didn't have mini apps yet on Farcaster. This was almost 2 years ago. So we created this just link that you could click, and we posted it. It brought people to another website where they entered their username on Farcaster. And then it read all of their posts and just presented to them a New Year's resolution using AI. Very simple, very quick, like one-click experience. Brought them to this website, and then we had a button there where they could then go share that back to Farcaster with the link. And that was that kind of like initial like test of, can we create this viral hook to like grow users? And network was super small back then, but we got like over 1,000 people doing this thing in one day. Totally not monetized. There was nothing behind it. It was just this experience to kind of grow really what we were building just as a concept, and just to kind of, for ourselves as builders, to get on the map as people who were building cool things. So that was the first time I saw that, but I'll pause because I know you have a question or something.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, also, that's a very interesting example that you brought up there, because even if you look at it, for getting the initial users, is Farcaster in the first place is a platform of experimentation.
Yeah.
So you're going to get the users. If you experiment, something will click. The other things, like if we look at the other platforms, such as, especially when it comes to games and getting users for games, like the other platforms like X or Telegram, they're usually super crowded and noisy with all kinds of projects from all kinds of chains. So would love to hear like what approach or what line of thinking or philosophy you take when approaching these platforms in the first place.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I have like a very particular philosophy about games and like what really led me to games. So I'll skip ahead a little bit, because that was kind of like the first experiment in just like creating like a viral loop on a social network. I really kind of backed into games because for a while I was experimenting with like AI agents, believing that like AI agents were like the perfect sort of outbound marketing tool. Like no matter what you're building, it just seemed super powerful to have an AI agent that could interact with users and converse with them in like entertaining ways, and then share mini apps with them, like as embeds that they can click. So for a while I was building an AI agent, and so people associated Atlas with this AI agent. And one of the problems I identified as part of that was just like, this AI agent is talking to everyone, but like, I wish it knew more about each user. So I started creating these mini apps for the AI agent so that users could tell the agent more about themselves to kind of enrich the experience. While I was doing that, I was waiting for someone to help me take it to the next level. They were unavailable at the time. So I just started to kind of like vibe code and think about like what things were exciting to me at the time. And I always love these types of experiences that a lot of people can participate in, which have like very simple, like one-click rules or just like some kind of entertaining, component, and then they share it. And I kind of backed into games, realizing like games are like the perfect format for that type of vision that I was having. So the first thing I think I created was this like soccer game where you basically open up this mini app. The goalie is going to be like either like it was like Dan or V, like one of the two founders of Farcaster, or this guy K-Mac, who's just like a super big football, like soccer fan, or just like one of your friends. If you clicked random, it would just grab a friend. Thinking that like, if you kind of contextualize people from the network into the game, it creates that kind of cool familiarity, which I think is like one sort of like core advantage of building on Farcaster or building on a social graph.
Over there, you have the tipping as well integrated.
But that was
a growth mechanism.
That wasn't even, that's a recent thing, but I guess I'll skip ahead to that. So like we had these games, they were kind of one-dimensional, not that complicated, really no rewards or anything. And then I kind of got to this point where, my agent had launched this token, and I wanted to incorporate the token into the game ecosystem. So I felt like we can have people competing for points. We can have people trying to win. That's like one dimension of a game. But incorporating this sort of meta that's really big on Farcaster now of like tipping your friends just seemed like this super powerful growth driver, but also really just fun and entertaining. Like, so the new game that we have, which we're super excited to launch, which is going to be launching probably next week. So some alpha here for the Optimism Show viewers. We've got a game which is very, very cool, very fun. It uses kind of like the Angry Birds mechanic of like pulling back on a slingshot. And every user in the game is going to have a totally different experience because we're bringing in your friends from Farcaster into the game. You are going to see like bullseyes, you're going to see bombs, and you're going to see pictures of your friends. And the goal is to try to get as many bullseyes as you can to win as many points. But also, if you see your friend's profile picture, you can aim at them, and then they get a tip, you get a tip. So you're winning rewards while you're playing the game in the Atlas token. Your friends are also getting rewards, even though they're not part of the game. So that's kind of this new model that we're leaning into, where you're able to sort of like reward your community, and then you get, you know, to celebrate with them that you both got this reward, even though they're not there. It kind of creates that connection between you and your friend group.
Yeah, it's but actually the way that it helped me visualize it in the beginning, it's like the Facebook poke, but it actually has a function.
Exactly. I think just layering and layering on top of the Facebook poke is where everyone needs to go. And this kind of comes down to the sort of like core point about like building on social, is that like if you're not getting notified of something, if your friend isn't getting notified of something, the odds of them seeing it are so unlikely, right? Yeah. So if you're getting all these notifications from apps you don't care about, that like you don't want to have that experience, you know, it's not like it's an airdrop, right? So it's got to be free money or an awesome experience for someone to click on something. If you get a notification, you don't click on it, that's a bad experience. You're like, why am I being tagged in spam? So we kind of have this vision where it's like, we want our app to just spread as fast and as wide as possible. Leaning into notifications is super powerful. So if we have somebody tipping their friends and then they share the app and then they're telling, oh, by the way, hey guys, claim this tip, and notifying them, then that gives them, they become aware of it. They can then go click into the app to claim the tips, and then they can start that game and have the exact same experience. So we're just sort of like spreading the app in this sort of like fun social way where everyone is, we're actually kind of airdropping this token like little by little as people are playing the game. So, you know, that's another thing that a lot of crypto projects I think have struggled with, is like, who do I airdrop? Like, am I going to pick like these KOLs? Am I just going to look for who has a ton of, you know, alignment because they're super into gaming? It's really hard. And I think you in marketing, you can kind of relate to this, where it's really hard to identify who's going to be there as like a really important ambassador for your project that's going to want to go spread it by word of mouth. Because it's like the most powerful, you know, signal is someone telling their friend something. So like, we want to kind of create simultaneously this like very fun experience that's super social, where you and your friends are kind of winning together, and a reason for all of these people to then go be super supportive like Atlas community members and go spread it far and wide so that we can recreate that experience again and again.
Yeah, it's exactly, it's really tapping into creating what some will say a network effect, but really into human nature. In the end, it's just going back to the basics.
Yeah, 100%. I posted something earlier today about like UX, because I use this mini app, like another great mini app that I can, you know, I use it.
One question over there that just popped up when we're on the topic of UX. What are some things in UX that, for example, you learned from game development that maybe you could see out there being used by other projects as well? Like, what are some behaviors that you're like, okay, this could be really cool to have out there?
I mean, my kind of like UX of game development is almost always just like, you know, one piece of information and a single button, one piece of information, single, like, I think I have to, my computer's going to
have it like really simple and really straight to the point.
I mean, dead simple. To the point, like I like the idea. I think OX Designer said something like, you have to make it that, oh, my monitor's getting hooked up. Can you see me?
Yep.
You have to make it that someone can do your, use your app like while they're drunk at 2 a.m. on a cab ride home. Like if they can do that and they can understand what to do, then you've kind of solved the UX challenge. So super simple. Like I start usually with like a very clear embed of like, this is what this game is and this is why you should click it. When your friends are sharing it, they're the ones who are kind of spreading that message. Like, oh, hey, Chris, you know, I tipped you some Atlas tokens. Click here to claim it and play Kickback, right? That's the name of the game. So then you'll go into it knowing, all right, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to claim, and then I'm going to play.
But over there, if we even if you look at it from a game perspective, is you get the notification and stuff, but the next part is like, okay, like what do you actually as a game developer, are you really focusing to retain those users afterward, or even what are your thoughts on what is retention in the first place? Because retention means different things for a lot of people.
Yeah,
it's not just to keep.
Right. I look at it as like you're, it is multidimensional, right? So like if you break down, the cool thing about games is that a lot of people can play them for a lot of different reasons. So it's like there are, let's say, the farmers who are the most simple, you know, that they just like the idea that this is a game with a token and they just want as much of the token as possible. So they're like hardcore token maxing on this. So like for that, retention is like they'll probably keep on going as long as they feel that there's alpha in playing this game. And like then we have to kind of think about how do we create the right economic model where like we're collecting more in value from those users than we're leaking in value to pure farmers, right? Then I think there's the kind of like casual discoverer of somebody. Like you're not even playing the game, but like your friend played it and they tagged you and you are going to claim a tip. And in that moment, you're going to go like, oh, well, of course I want a tip. So I'm going to go claim it and then check it out and play it and share it to my friends. And then maybe you'll forget about it completely. But I think beyond that, we have people who like are really fired up about competition, right? And especially on a social graph, they if you give them a leaderboard, like they want to be at the top of it. If that leaderboard's broken up into like leagues, like there's the Platinum League, the Gold League, and the Silver League, like they want to be in the Platinum League. And they're not going to stop until they get there. So the cool thing about games is it naturally creates this hierarchy and people respond to that in like really fun ways. Like it creates this meta game in a social network where like the people who are super competitive, they come out, you know, and they'll brag about victories. They'll mourn defeats. And you know, the idea is we have this agent as well, who's going to be casting the leaderboard and able to kind of like celebrate victories. So you have to kind of create this recurring experience for people or else they will forget about it and move on to something else. So I think what a lot of games have done well is like create those leagues within the leaderboard, create achievements, and then help people really share and celebrate those achievements and give them something to look forward to. Like, so it keeps on going higher. Beyond that, it's just making the game more difficult, like adding more challenges, adding more ways to extend the time play, just building on whatever the mechanic is. In ours, it's hand-eye coordination and speed. So just making it that you can get more, you know, points, you can get more rewards if you're better, right? And making it the best players can actually do that.
Even if you look at like when, because what I believe is happening right now is very similar, although absolutely not the same. It's a different direction from, for example, what was happening with Facebook when Zynga was out there building games and everything, because like Farcaster has an entire different layer that is there for exploration. Yeah. And what I was gonna, my comment there was also, even if you look at what Zynga was doing back in the days or what you are now building on, it's really focusing on those core few mechanics and doing them very well.
Yeah. Trying to keep things incredibly simple. I used to try to just create as many games as possible. That's what I was doing from like, let's say January to March. And it was the wrong approach because one of my principles here is it's actually not about the game. Like the game, of course, has to be fun. The animations have to be beautiful, like sound effects. Like it has to kind of reach a certain level of like excellence, that it's just a game that people will find to be enjoyable. But then at that point, like there's tons of really great games on the internet. Like there's a lot of great mobile games. You know, you can play Mario on, you know, a Nintendo game on your phone. You can play Angry Birds, which is loved by like 800 million people play Angry Birds daily. It's like, it's so entertaining. So like, what do we have to do in this like new world where like games are embedded in the social graph? You actually have to make games social, first and foremost. It's not enough to make a good game. The game has to kind of be embedded within the fabric of your social life. So I think the way you do that is you can have these kind of like sidebar or like side quest experiences that are more social. You can share information about like your close friends when they're in the game. You can have agents kind of creating these rivalries between you and your friends. There's just a lot of ideas about how to make these games kind of a conversation starter among people versus just like this very solitary, mindless, passive experience of you by yourself in your room playing a mobile game, which there's tons of that. And I think we kind of have an opportunity to do something new with Atlas. And of course, the token adds a layer of like financial connection too, because now you and your friend have this token, which you can talk about. And if it goes up, you're probably both going to be happy. So it's like crypto aligns people, you know, on good days and bad days, you know, entertain you on bad days and on good days, token go up, right?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. But Atlas has been holding pretty well lately, though.
Godspeed. Yeah. I mean, there was, you know, when Ethereum dipped to like 1400, I had like a lot of USDC in my wallet because I was mostly in stables. And I'm like, you know what? Captain goes down with the ship. I just bought a ton of the token and I'm like, I'm in it, you know? So now the project has a really decent chunk of this token, which was fair launched by a clanker. I market bought just like everybody else. So I really think it has the intangibles to be a very, very strong community token. And we're going to use it to reward users within our app ecosystem for growth. And I think that's the kind of vision, is that like people are going to come in for a lot of different reasons, and the token's going to kind of change over time based on like how we need to reward people for whatever it is that we are excited about and what we're